because Jesus had shared in John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. On the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who has believed in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart or inner person will flow rivers of living waters." What a beautiful statement that only Jesus could make. As I've said before, just think about yourself. Too much monitor, please. As I've said myself, using myself in the picture, I could never look at someone and say, "If you lack life, just come to me and drink. I have living water for you." You just kind of run. But Jesus could stand before everyone and say this because it was true. We can be filled to overflow with his purpose, with the fruit of the Spirit, which is what? Love. To be filled with God's Spirit is to be filled with God's love, among other things, but none higher, which is how we have the power to be witnesses. I am not against the statement, "Come on, let's go witnessing. Grab some tracks, go out in the street, and go witnessing." I'm not speaking against that. But I will tell you that the scripture, clearly, just for the sake of the height of glory of this, is that we're not told to go witnessing. We're told to be witnesses. Now, that may include going on the street. So nothing against that. But just saying it's who you are that produces what you do. In most of life, we are taught that you do to become. But in Christ, we become, through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we become his children, empowered by him so that we're able to do the things that he would have us do. There's a big difference. There's a big, huge difference to be a witness. And in the desire that we have to be filled rivers of living water, it's not a lake of living water. It's not, you need to be filled up, so that you are satisfied. No, to be truly satisfied is to be a river, to be a conduit where the Holy Spirit's flowing through you to other people as well. For you see, in Proverbs 11:25, a great verse, "The generous soul will be made rich." Now, some of us would like our bank accounts to be a little bigger today. I understand that. But how about your soul? Would you like your soul to be rich? "The generous soul will be made rich, and he who pours out water on others will be watered also himself." See, that's part of that picture. We're a conduit for the Holy Spirit to work through us to others. And we get so much out of our faith more, and we grow in our faith more by using it to obey him and to be used of him to help others. However, there are situations and times in life where you're just going through an awful lot. And that's really okay. There are times in life where you're like just trying to find the Lord's way to help you through stuff. It can become a problem when you just focus internally and just on your own needs. But let's not deny that there's times in life. I'm not denying there's times where it's just really difficult. And a person needs all their strength to find the Lord in that moment and grow in him and be strong and get his strength for them. But let me say, people are watching. And in the positive. Sometimes when you know, "Well, it's so hard for me to be a witness because I got so much happening in my life that is causing me to need so much Jesus, and I can't. It's hard for me to think beyond what I'm going through right now, and I'm seeking him with all my heart." Well, guess what? People are watching you. I'm watching you. What I mean by that is there's people in my life in this room. You haven't said a word to me, "Rick, you should do this. You should be better. You should." You haven't said anything to me, but your life has told me how to follow Jesus. You've been a witness to me. And I thank you for it. And I think that in our lives, people are watching us when we're in hard times to see how we're holding on. They might not figure out exactly what they're thinking. You might not articulate it. They might not. But we are watching each other. So there's a good side of that. Even in the midst of hardship, you can be a witness for Jesus Christ. Of course, the goal is always to go beyond, but thank God for that mercy. So, whatever season you're in, God wants to fill you and overflow you with his Spirit. You aren't always going to feel giddy and giggly. It's just not going to be that way. But you can be a conduit for him. So anyway, we see that after Jesus spoke and the rulers tried at the end of the chapter to get their guards to go take him as a prisoner, and they said, hey, we never saw a guy spoke like this. And they say, you idiots, these people, paraphrasing, these people don't know the word, they don't know God, anything. We're the guys who know it. Can't you see that this is a farce? But Jesus does not worry about it. He goes to the Mount of Olives, and everybody else goes to their own home. At the end of chapter 7, everyone went to his own house. And that's because they just went home to sulk or to think or to ponder. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, obviously to pray, to seek his Father. Verse 2. Now early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that she should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said because they had so much love for God's word and a desire to honor God. Oh, I'm sorry, did I read the wrong version? Okay. This they said, testing him, so that they might have something to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground.